What?
That's awesome. We should really start with that.
Welcome to the Day Zero update for June 21st, 2015. I'm Filippo DeNova.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Teresa Sammons.
And we're, I think, mostly decompressed after E3 this year.
More or less.
Yeah, a lot has happened. This is kind of the weekend where we, you know, catch up on articles we might have missed or stories that might have broken. But it's also the time when we probably actually started playing games again.
We didn't get a whole lot of that done during E3.
No, didn't really do that. I've been playing mostly Audacity this week.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, that game has a really, really steep learning curve. You know, the visuals aren't anything to write home about, but, you know, there's a lot of depth to it.
Yeah, a lot of micromanagement.
Yeah. It really, you know, treats you like an adult. You know, there's no hand-holding in this one whatsoever. So, yeah, there's that. What have you been playing, Pat?
With what little gaming time that I've been able to squeeze in during E3, there's been some Trails in the Sky FC, of course, just with all this Trails news coming out of E3. It's really just been hard to think about playing anything else. But I did work some Killer Instinct in there. Really interested in hearing what they have to announce about that game coming up at Gamescom and Evo. And then, sort of a request from Danrib, once the dust settles from E3, I'll be picking Project Cars back up again, because we still need a review of that for the site, and I told him I'd do one.
Yeah, you're the only one on staff that actually has a copy.
Yeah, that kind of surprised me. But yeah, I'll be picking that up again in the coming days, just as basically I take inventory of all my body parts and make sure everything's exactly where it belongs after this crazy week we've had.
Yeah, I can definitely hear you there. Brandon, how about you?
Well, I'm still doing The Witcher 3. In fact, it's probably going to be my primary gaming thing at least until the middle of next month, because, God, there is so much content in this game.
Yeah.
Also, started and sort of making headway into Trails in the Sky. Screw you, Patrick.
I'm not really sensing gratitude here.
Not so much gratitude, so much as you've basically found me yet another way for me to waste away my hours.
Yeah.
This is actually a little bit more open-ended than your traditional JRPG is. Lots of side quests, lots of just things. People warned me this is a big game, and they were right.
So I'm guessing, based on that talk we had the other day, that you are doing a lot of the stuff off the beaten path.
Trying to keep it to a minimum, but yeah, kinda.
It's an easy world to get into.
Yeah. And I gotta admit, I do like the combat, though. The sort of, right. It almost kinda reminds me of like the combat you'd get in a strategy RPG, but it's, you know, it's more classical turn-based, and, you know, it's genuinely interesting. I do have to admit that.
I always describe it to people as Grandia by way of Final Fantasy X.
Yeah, and that's fine. My only problem is that, you know, the distance you sometimes have to cover to get to another enemy, which can be a little annoying at times. But
a lot of that's to push spells, but you'll eventually get shoes that can up your movement.
Yeah. And other than that, I've started replaying Symphony of the Night because, you know, Bloodstained.
All that Bloodstained hype.
Oh, yeah. And I still love the cheesy dialogue in that game.
See, I'm probably in the minority on that because I actually preferred the redub they gave it when they ported it to PSP.
Yeah. I got mine off of PSN, so it's the
original PlayStation.
Original PlayStation. It's die, monster. You do not belong in this world.
Yeah.
What is a man? A miserable pile of secrets. But enough talk. Have at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to say I prefer the remake they did for the PSP.
Yeah.
When they just went in and redubbed everything with a better known voice cast and better writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also got to say the soundtrack to this game is still freaking awesome.
Oh yeah. It is.
It's one of Yamane's best ever.
Yeah. Also had to sort of start playing this because just sort of off on the side. And I do this just to piss off Patrick. I am a huge Dragon Force fan, and their most recent album has a song that's based on Symphony of the Night. So that also sort of played into this.
Yeah.
If you ever get a chance, go on YouTube, Dragon Force Symphony of the Night. It's an awesome tune. Hmm. But that's what I've been playing. So, Teresa?
Well, surprise, surprise, I've been playing Civilization.
Of course.
And surprise, surprise, I bought more expansions in the Steam sale.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that and Final Fantasy Record Keeper. And I squeezed in a little bit of time for Ease 2 this week, but not a lot of time for other stuff. Been kind of sideline watching what my kid has been playing. He picked up Lego Worlds, and that is freaking cool.
Yeah.
Just so you know, what a cool game. Somebody gave him some Steam credit for his birthday, and he's really loving that.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's kind of like a cool Minecraft meets Lego. It looks really nice.
Yeah, and you know, that's kind of cool. Lego City is not sandbox per se, but it was so nice and open-ended, you know, versus like Lego Batman and whatnot, where you're really just mission-based.
Yeah.
So they have some pretty cool stuff going on with Lego games, which I'm sure everybody already knows.
Yeah. And when Lego Dimensions comes out, that's going to ruin me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And just out of curiosity, how many of you guys actually backed Bloodstained?
I did.
I had great intentions, and then I looked at my paycheck, and sometimes intentions are only that, but I will be there day one for that game because it's one of those games that isn't optional. You have to get in on it.
Yeah.
I contributed a few dollars.
Yeah. I did as well.
I didn't.
50% then for
I don't know. Kickstarters and I know they're great things, but I have a hard time getting on board with it.
Yeah, it's all right.
I'm very selective of Kickstarters. I mean, of the since, you know, it's been around, I've only backed like three. One of them didn't fund, so I didn't get charged. And the other one that did was Defense Grid 2. So, yeah.
And you certainly got your money's worth out of that, didn't you?
I'm still getting my money's worth out of that. I've also bought it on the other platforms that I didn't have it on because reasons.
Because reasons. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty selective on those myself, and I figured the $5 that I would have been able to spare on this paycheck probably wasn't going to make or break anything. So
yeah, it's all right. Look at it. It really is.
Yeah.
So there have only been a few Kickstarters that I've gotten in on, and one funded, one didn't. But yeah, it's definitely not a game I'm going to miss when it's actually here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we know it actually will be here because, well, it funded, and also Deep Silver is backing it, so they'll get there. Probably sooner than the Kickstarter makes it look like they will.
Yeah, according to Igarashi, anyway.
Yeah.
What was it he said exactly?
He said he wants to have it out before next year's E3.
Wow.
I'm in.
That's pretty ambitious, but hey. Yeah. He's got the team behind it, so.
And the money.
Yeah, definitely.
Speaking of Kickstarter, Shenmue 3 just crossed the $3.5 million mark.
Yeah.
Wow, what
so
a
that
shock.
Was a stretch goal.
Yeah. What a shock.
26 days to go.
Yeah.
We'll get to that a little later.
Yeah.
But first things first.
What platforms were they planning for that to come out on? I forgot, guys.
PS4.
PC, PS4.
God damn. Okay.
Yeah, I feel you.
Other platforms not out of the question if the demand is there, but considering Sony's playing such a big part in making it happen, that they definitely get first dibs.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys want to talk about crap Reggie is saying, or you want to talk about Final Fantasy VII?
Let's do the Final Fantasy VII thing first.
Right, Pat?
Oh, well, okay, my lack of hype for the Final Fantasy VII remake is pretty well documented in recent shows. Some of it you could blame Nomura for, but some of it you could also blame translations of what Nomura says. My roommate speaks Japanese and has gone over some of the original articles over at Famitsu and Dengeki. That have kind of been the cause of some of this controversy. And, you know, the way that some people are describing it, he says, no, that's not what Nomura is saying. Basically just saying that the battle system is more likely to just be fleshed out more, rebalanced, possibly have some new elements attached to it. But it's, you know, they're not looking to just completely scrap the ATB, completely scrap materia as we know it, and go with something completely new.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I mean, materia so itself is so integral to the actual Final Fantasy universe. It would be kind of weird to just take it out wholesale like that.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I said materia as we know it.
Yeah.
There are a lot of ways they could implement it that would be completely different than how it appeared in Final Fantasy VII.
I mean, by God, materia is there's one materia that's like a major plot point to one of the major events in the game.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I can't really...
I mean, that was not a side quest I would necessarily miss, but, yeah. So that made me feel a lot better, because I'm for expanding the battle system, adding some new elements to it, possibly getting some positional stuff in there, and, you know, there would be a whole new possible application of materia in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But switching to, like, an action RPG system or something otherwise fully real-time, that was kind of...
What you were afraid of.
That was kind
of
the hill I was willing to die on, or at least just shift all my focus over to Trails of Cold Steel, mm-hmm. which I'll be doing later this year anyway. At least in the short term.
Yeah.
But no, I feel a lot better after that. And so it's back on my radar. And I just hope they're smart and release a lot of battle footage leading up to the release, because that's ultimately what's going to make my decision.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I've had a lot of enjoyment watching reaction videos of people seeing that announcement of that. I mean, if you've seen that video of the guys at Game Trailers you are literally watching a guy in a fine suit, all formal, literally perching himself on top of his chair in just sheer excitement.
Oh my God.
And then there was Shenmue 3 right after that.
Yeah, and that one, they just...
While they were still trying to calm down.
And they just completely lost it at that point.
Yeah.
And, you know... some of the folks who may be a little younger who don't understand why this got such a big reaction, there's two things you have to remember. The first thing is Final Fantasy VII, even though it may not necessarily be the best Final Fantasy game in the franchise, I mean, it's still good, but you know, it's compared to some other games. It was basically the first Final Fantasy that got non-RPG players into the genre.
Yeah.
You know, it did things at the time that no other game was doing. You know, they were experimenting with polygons and, you know, pre-rendered backgrounds and stuff that, you know, at that scale we had not seen before.
Yeah.
And, you know, it looks kind of rough now, but back in 1997, it was pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was the definition of a system seller. People bought PlayStations for that game.
Yeah, and that game sold like crazy. Yeah.
And there's what drew the tide of the console war for that generation, too, because yeah, a lot of people had actually bought N64s thinking that that they were going to get Final Fantasy on it, just like they did on the Super NES, and that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Uh-uh. And you also you got to remember, too, this was on top of being sort of a lot of people's first RPGs, it was also a lot of people's first time playing a game with a story of that scale and that amount of drama in it. I mean, it's sort of a running joke now about, you know, Aerith dying, you know, but, you know, it was a real shocker back then. I mean, you just didn't do that in a game like
and especially,
that.
Especially as early as it happens.
Yeah.
Just, I mean.
Yeah, it's like, you know, well, end of the first disc, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was literally the final cutscene of disc one.
So, you know, there's a reason why people, especially of our generation, are really attached to that game.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, looking back, we can definitely see the game has some flaws.
Yeah.
Like even people who didn't get emotional about it, like me,
are like
it still
insane.
Had that whole sense no. of, it had that whole sense of, wait, what the fuck just happened?
Exactly.
This doesn't happen in Final Fantasy. What?
Yeah.
And
on top of this, and of course, there's also the music and the characters, and maybe Sephiroth isn't the best villain in Final Fantasy history, but if he was your first Final Fantasy villain, he's definitely someone you're going to remember.
Yeah, and I think he's actually better than people give him credit for.
It's a part of, and I think that people, and you know, Cloud was a character that a lot of people, you know, got attached to too. And I know it's kind of characters like Cloud and Sephiroth these days have sort of come like a trope, almost a cliche.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason they became cliche. It's because that game more or less did it first, and with its success, everybody else started following it.
Uh huh.
So, you know, and in Cloud's credit, you know, he's, you know, Cloud can be a little depressing at times, but he isn't always. And, you know, he's not like Squall, who's just a total asshole from the very beginning.
Oh, God.
But hey, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
No, it was for you.
No, Squall's bastardness is what made Final Fantasy VIII remotely playable.
Yeah. But here's the other thing people also.
And I only wish that he actually said what he was thinking consistently.
Yeah.
There are so many times that I wish those thought bubbles had been word bubbles.
Yeah. But here's the other major thing people have to remember. Square has been sort of hinting at and trolling us about a Final Fantasy VII remake for over a decade now, almost. And, you know, everything from that PS3 demo, graphics demo, to, you know, the movie, you know, they've just been kind of dicking us around for a long time. So even though, you know, there were hints and stuff on Twitter and stuff that there was going to be a remake, nobody believed it. And even while I was watching the trailer, I didn't believe it either. Like, I was almost sure this was going to be a spinoff or this was going to be another movie. Because considering, you know, it was Tetsuya Nomura's director, remember, he directed the Final Fantasy VII movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was what I was thinking, you know. But no, it is totally a remake, and it shocked everybody else.
Yeah.
Me included.
It was a great
remake. And see, I knew that it was going to be Final Fantasy VII Remake because we broke the story earlier in the morning.
Well, aren't you special?
Right, we couldn't wait.
Yeah, we had the Final Fantasy VII story. We had the Shenmue story, so we just kind of ran with it
that
morning. Like, I got home first thing from work, tried to get a hold of Phil. Dude, we got to cover this. This is huge. So we sat down, banged out a Shrapnel episode, and yeah.
Which I haven't listened to, actually. I need to listen to that one.
Yeah, it's up on YouTube.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So, along those same lines, though, Nomura is saying Final Fantasy V and VI should come before an 8 or 9 remake.
Yeah.
And I'm completely with them, to be honest.
Yeah. Those games haven't really been remade properly yet, and they're definitely worthy of it, especially 5.
Yeah.
We haven't really gotten a good version of that here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 6 is just begging for a remake.
Yeah, 6, hopefully they just dump whatever resources are needed into the 6 remake, because there is so much they can do with this game. I mean, it feels like it was developed maybe with something more advanced, with a PS1 or a PS2 in mind, and they just did what they could with it whilst bottlenecked by the Super NES. And they did magnificently with it for what they had.
Oh, yeah. There is still a reason. I will always say the only game, 16-bit game, that's actually ever brought a tear to my eye was Final Fantasy VI in the Opera House scene. That just...
Yeah, that was pretty epic.
I haven't played it yet. You're spoiling me.
Well, there's a way to rectify that, you know.
There is a way to rectify it. There's a lot of things that I need to catch up on.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're talking, what, this is like a 40-hour commitment?
Oh, yeah, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's not going to be, you know, 290 hours played on Civ.
No. Definitely not. Yeah. All right, you back, Pat?
I am back.
All right.
That sucked.
Skype. We hate you, Skype. Thank you.
Why do you hate me, Creator?
Yeah, I'm definitely all for Final Fantasy V and VI being remade and before 8 and 9. Even though 9 is really good, it's still, you know, enough time has passed between 5 and 6, and we kind of need those.
I honestly don't think that 9 gets the respect it deserves.
No.
That's true. The thing is, if you remade 8 and 9, you could go in there and reasonably retune them to look... You know, you wouldn't have to make them look like the Final Fantasy VII remake.
Yeah.
You could go in and make them look like, say, Kingdom Hearts 2, and tune them up to maybe that level.
Especially 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 9 is a great game. 9 still has my favorite, you know, ending theme of all the Final Fantasy games. I'm a sucker for power ballads.
And 5, I think, has the most potential for expandability
compared
to the original version. If you just dumped every job that they've put in Final Fantasy since 5 in there, and just put a whole glut of abilities in that you could get compared to the original, that could overhaul the whole game and just retune it. Oh, so much potential there.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
I think
Pharas is one of the most underrated main party characters in the history of the series.
Mm-hmm.
I just want all these remakes to be on PC. Going forward, if all consoles will have backwards compatibility of some sort for all the old games, I don't want to think about being 50 years old and trying to find a way to to play all the games that I used to like.
Yeah,
and that's why backward compatibility matters, and it's unacceptable that it's been as dismissed as it has been.
Yeah, and I don't have faith in them rectifying this. So
especially the way they've been talking.
PC. Yeah.
You know, we'll see where Microsoft goes with this, but
how about do the right thing? But
yeah.
Well, no, because when when word got out that they announced the backward compatibility, Shu Yoshida over at Sony basically just said, "That must have taken a ridiculous amount of effort." Like, he was just kind of mind blown by how far they were going to make that happen.
It's like, yeah, what? And your point is?
Well, at least he didn't pull a Don Matrick.
Yeah.
He just, you know, he sounded more impressed than anything.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't rule it out. They didn't, they just said,
it's not what we're doing right now.
It's not priority. So, yeah. Reggie.
Reggie.
Oh.
He's been, you know,
spewing. We love you and we hate you, Reggie.
So, Iwata's tweet was not an apology. Well, okay, whatever.
Like, we have nothing to apologize for. We make good games. He was just telling the Nintendo faithful to stay tuned because there is more to come.
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of see that. Where I start getting a little bit annoyed is when he starts talking about VR and saying it's not fun, not social, and it's just good tech.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but he admitted that he didn't even walk the floor to try some of the stuff. So
it's true.
And they just released a game that everybody's screaming about. Everybody loves Splatoon. You know what? If Nintendo had released it with mic support so everybody could be talking and socializing, I think that Reggie would be hyping the shit out of VR.
Yeah.
And everybody I've talked to who firsthand has tried it, they've been blown away.
Yeah.
So why is he dissing on this? I mean, what?
Well, it's actually pretty simple. It's the fact that Wii U is not capable of driving VR.
No.
So they're gonna do everything they can to dismiss it as a technology until they're ready to implement it. And then they did it right, just like Apple does.
Aren't you also thinking that everything they have in development, hardware-wise, probably isn't going to support it, since he's being rather outspoken about downplaying it and saying, it sucks?
Yeah,
he's not on their hardware team.
Yeah. I don't have high hopes, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as Splatoon having mic support, I think from a Nintendo standpoint, they're already having a problem with people drawing dicks. They probably would prefer not having people talking about them as well.
You know what? But as a parent, I see that is an issue. And, you know, my kid is going to drag my unhappy butt out to the store this afternoon, and we're going to buy Splatoon because he's got birthday money. And it's not that I don't want to play it. It's just that, oh, my God, we got another game addiction going on. And I want the TV. I want to use it. So
you may just need to just straight up buy another TV.
Yeah, that's sounding more and more like the solution to this particular problem.
Yeah, I'm thinking like a 100-inch one and stick it in the bedroom. What do you guys
think? Never leave the room ever.
Nope. Well, there's a bathroom in here too, so why would I, you know?
Yeah.
Just put a microwave.
Put in a mini fridge. Side. Just put in a mini fridge. You're pretty much set.
Microwave, coffee pot.
But, you know, as a parent, I do say that, sure, there could be concerns with the microphone thing, but if you make it easy for the unwashed masses who don't understand what the hell their kids are doing when they're playing to turn off, you know, mic support, there's so many parental controls on so many other things, so many other platforms. You know, you can lock down your mobile devices, your tablets, your computers, obviously. You can do the same thing here. And they know about this because there's the parental controls on the 3DS. I don't know if any of you have experienced this. Oh, my gosh. they lock it down pretty good, and it's annoying whenever you need to get in to do something.
Yeah.
They're aware of this, and they could easily do a voice support and just put in that setting just like they did on the 3DS.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
But I would accept it as a parent with the talkie-talkie stuff. You know, have a friends list. They could only talk with their friends if they're, you know, if they made that setting, or just, no, you're not using it. That's for mom.
Yeah. Because in Splatoon's case, you know, not having voice support is actually something that hurts gameplay.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
So I've heard. Yeah. So I'll be finding out soon.
Yeah. I do want to add one thing about VR, though. As someone who's... I haven't actually tried an Oculus yet. I played around a little bit with Google Cardboard. That's kind of fun. But I have spent a bit of time inside of High Fidelity, which is a new virtual world that Philip Rosedale is developing. He's a guy that created Second Life, and this is basically the second generation of that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. He's basically doing, well, to put it bluntly, he's doing the Oasis. This is what it boils down to. Already?
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
Already, you knew it was going to happen.
I have been hanging out in the basement.
Nice.
Yay.
So.
Nice.
Has anybody started talking to you about the Breakfast Club?
Yes. Yeah, and that's the thing. It encourages you heavily to use a microphone because the text chat really isn't there. So, you know, you kind of... It's a lot more immersive. It's a lot more intuitive. I've had a couple of people that have been there who have run into that are using it with Oculus Rift and Leap Motion for face tracking.
Wow.
You know, this is coming.
Yeah. It's coming in our lifetime, without a doubt.
Next 5 years.
It's coming this generation.
Yeah.
Well, at least we won't be having to live in the stacks.
Yeah. it could all go to hell sooner or later. So you never know.
I was thinking about that. You know, I was thinking about the Oasis because I saw a graphic, an infographic somewhere in the past week. I wish I had saved it. And it was comparing the size of the Minecraft universe on servers right now to our galaxy. It was insane.
It was big.
So cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of blocks.
Yeah.
Anyways. Okay. So what else did Reggie have to say? He's basically confirming Zelda for a 2016 release. I wonder if he... bothered to check that with Aonuma, though.
Yeah, otherwise Aonuma is going to be greatly disappointed that he can't force choke him from Japan. Just yeah.
He probably can. He's just not allowed. You know, it's part of his contract.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a part of me that wants to believe that if Reggie's saying it, then he's saying it on good authority. But I don't know. The way Aonuma's been talking, 2016 is not a given. Yeah. And, you know, this is a game that could very, very believably slip to 2017. And for Reggie to come off the cuff like that and say, no, it's 2016, that would be huge if we could get it substantiated. Mm. You know, from the business team.
You know, if Aonuma wants to wait until 2017, I really am completely okay with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Zelda is like one of those franchises where I want them to take all the time they need.
Yeah.
Well, especially given how it was delayed. Like, this was the opposite of Please Understand. This was...
Aonuma suddenly coming in contact with something that got him... He's like, I've got to implement this in the game.
We've had an epiphany while designing this game. It's completely changed the way we're thinking about it, and we're going to take all the time that we need to get this game in the shape that we need it to get into before we ship it out. We're not sorry. You'll thank us when it's done. And that, you know, that gets me excited.
Yeah.
That the muse struck him so profoundly that he's like, no, the game that we showed at E3, not going to happen. What we've got going on has completely redefined the way we're thinking about the game, and now we have to go in and pretty much retool everything based on that knowledge.
Understand, the only other developer at Nintendo who does that is Miyamoto.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, Aonuma's kind of Miyamoto's successor, I would say.
His prodigy. his Padawan, if you will.
Yeah.
Well, he's got the clout for it now. I mean, but in the end, I think it's Iwata that's going to make the decision whether it's going to come out in 2016 or 17.
Yeah.
Probably. But, you know, he would not be well served to ignore what he's saying.
Yeah.
You know, if he's saying, yeah, this is going to be awesome, just wait. Yeah. I'm sure he puts a lot of stock in that.
Yeah.
And well, don't forget, Iwata used to be one of their programmers. So yep.
Yeah, he does know what it takes to get it to make these games happen. So
if you like Earthbound, you have Iwata to thank, because he basically recoded that whole game by himself.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's pretty much what Reggie's been talking about. Yeah.
Only history can tell us if this was a Don Matrick violation or not.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that Nintendo's in a state of PR disaster, but Reggie's definitely going alpha dog on this. On a lot of things, really.
Yeah. He seems really defensive to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know.
Well, playing defense is pretty much the only reason anyone ever goes alpha dog.
Yeah. But, you know, if you hadn't made stupid decisions in the past, you wouldn't have to be playing defense.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, anyway. So this next story is a little bit, changes gears a little bit. IO Interactive, the studio behind Hitman, not a fan of season passes, apparently.
Yeah, that's
bad for gamers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, the sky is blue. Water is wet. Just point that out there. Yeah. So we did mention that for Hitman, they're going to try doing something a little bit different, you know, in actually packing the game with content and then expanding it over time, but not really, you know, locking stuff away. I kind of like that approach, but, you know, it's weird.
Yeah, it's refreshing to see a studio not only recognize that that's better for gamers, but also arrive at it as an acceptable conclusion. We're not used to that.
Yeah. Let's hope Hitman does really well, and based on that model, other studios will follow suit, because if the season pass were to go away tomorrow, I wouldn't be upset about it.
Yeah, and I think when EA decided to drop season passes, that was a... that was pretty much the beginning of the end for it.
Yeah. Warner is still hanging on to them for dear life.
Yeah. And not only hanging on to it, it seems like they've doubled down.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that line of thinking, but we'll see where that goes.
Yeah. Oh, well, Hitman. Let's just hope it does well so that stuff can go away. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, next story, Patrick.
Yeah, according to Sony Computer Entertainment CEO, the PlayStation Vita is not in any kind of trouble whatsoever. It seems like Sony is getting comfortable with it in its own skin. It's not going to be a AAA machine. It's not going to be something that's going to thrive on first-party support. They're just going to leave it out there, let the indies do what they will with it. There's over 100 games in the works, and it sounds like they're perfectly content to let it ride. This is refreshing.
Yeah. I'm surprised by this news. I would have thought that it was on its way out.
Yeah. Well, if you were following E3... there literally were no PS Vitas to be found on the floor.
Nope.
You couldn't find them. So
there was precisely one B-roll.
Yeah.
So, and it was a good B-roll.
Yeah. I kind of wish they had dropped that into their show. That probably would have.
It wouldn't have killed them.
No.
Nobody would have noticed the 60 seconds that it added to the show time.
Yeah. They were too busy squeeing over Shenmue 3 and Final Fantasy 7.
Yeah, they're probably the crowd was probably on neutral at that point anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, we're done.
The takeaway quotes here according to PS Universe, when he says we're still Jim Ryan is the guy's name, says we're still selling respectable quantities. We have 100 games in development, and you might say, well, yeah, but they're all indie games. But many of these games review very highly. Also, the PS4's remote play feature is something that is valued a lot. And then later said, there's no disputing that the handheld market isn't the size it used to be. It's a much smaller market than when the DS and PSP were in their glory days, but that market does still exist. And so... And he also refused to suggest that the PS Vita would be Sony's last handheld. So stay tuned on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, in a way, it doesn't really cost them to keep it around, so they may as well just let it ride and see how it does.
This is an interesting experiment, I think. Mm-hmm. This is Sony going right ahead and seeing what can happen with a platform when it isn't living and dying by AAA.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, all these people predicting what the game industry might look like when AAA eats itself.
Yeah, just look at the PS Vita.
Yeah. And if you really, you know, pay attention and actually take the effort to look at the lineup and not just seeing the information that's spoon-fed to you by the major websites, there's a lot to like about it. Not just what's out there right now, but what's in the pipeline.
Yeah.
So that's something that everyone should take note of. This, there is a post-AAA experiment going on right now, and it's the PlayStation Vita.
Yeah.
And there are even some major third parties that are still on board. We've talked a lot about Trails of Cold Steel on the show. That's also coming to PlayStation Vita.
Yeah.
In fact, all three of the upcoming Trails games are.
Hmm.
So there's that to keep in mind.
Yeah.
It is very much a JRPG platform, but, you know, we need one.
Hmm.
We really do.
Won't get any argument from me. Hey, Brandon, you want to take us into this next one?
Yeah. Well, being a former GameStop employee myself... GameStop's pretty much come out and said, hell yeah, we're down with the Xbox One backward compatibility.
Why wouldn't they be?
Well, yeah.
Definitely going to get them a lot more mileage out of those old Xbox 360 games, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And this is a company that's just recently re-embraced legacy platforms as part of their business model.
Mm-hmm.
So this fits right in with what they're trying to do. If I were a high roller at GameStop, I couldn't be happier right now about it.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be going to Sony asking what's taking so long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to give you an idea, you know, I worked there for seasonal last year during the holidays. And, you know, if you ever go to a GameStop, you know they have got a lot of Xbox 360 games on sale. On, you know, used, pre-owned, just everywhere. And the fact that, you know, the folks at Microsoft are allowing this, it means that they basically won't have to worry about having any, you know, unwanted merchandise on their
That's
walls.
That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, because all of a sudden your Xbox One now has two libraries that it can draw from. So,
mm-hmm. Potentially three if they allow the old Xbox games.
Yeah, that will be interesting to see. That actually would be an easier time to get going than the 360 emulation would have been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't wait to try out this backwards compatibility. I'm just waiting for my update for the Xbox One to take, and then I'll be able to report back.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I'm in the preview program or not, so I'll have to take a look and see about that.
Mm-hmm.
Who's that? Finally, we'll end off with Yu Suzuki.
Yeah, sort of giving everyone a refresher on what Shenmue is as a franchise, what the original vision was for it, where Shenmue 3 lies in the scope of the franchise as a whole. The main key point to take away from that is Shenmue 3 is not intended to be the final game. So, the series is intended to be 4 or 5 games. It was from the beginning. If this whole effort of bringing the series back through Kickstarter and through Shenmue 3 as a whole truly succeeds, we might be looking at a gaming version of Family Guy, something that was gone for quite a while, and then frothing demand just brought it back.
Yeah.
And, you know, suddenly there's no end in sight for it. I think it's going to run 4 games. The first, there are 11 chapters.
Mm-hmm.
The first game was 1. The manga that ran between the first 2 games was chapter 2. Shenmue 2 was chapters 3 through 5. And I think Shenmue 3 is going to be 6 through 8. And Shenmue 4 is going to be 9 through 11.
Yeah.
Well, there are 11 chapters.
Yeah.
So,
they're going to need to re-release the first 2 titles.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up being a stretch goal for the Kickstarter at some point.
It probably needs to be.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised. We're all paying attention to what the left hand is doing that we don't know what the right hand is. Sony still has the rights to the franchise as a whole. They forked it over without an argument to Yu Suzuki to make Shenmue 3, but it's still theirs. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're looking at this Kickstarter and how much money it's pulling down, and people within Sega are going, look, guys, we need to get those first 2 games out there. There's money in this now. Yeah. And it's going to cost us fuck all to re-release Shenmue 1 and 2 on the PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah. I would not be surprised if we end up seeing perhaps an HD collection of the first 2.
Yeah.
At some point in the future.
I could see that.
I'm already envisioning the Shenmue 1 through 4 collector's gift box.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, 5-6 years from now. Just
Well, the Kickstarter has pretty much proven that not only is there a market for this, but people are willing to give up some crazy cash to be able to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
I'm surprised that those replica jackets are selling for $3,000 each.
Mm-hmm.
People want them. You know, they're certainly not going to cost $3,000 to make. You know,
no.
It's just
it's almost all profit.
Yeah.
So if they can get this game done and it sells really well, yeah, this will be a franchise that's definitely come back from the dead.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Could not be happier.
Yeah.
I still, like I've said before, and I will say this again.
Makes me want to go back and play the originals.
Yes. The original Shenmue's games, their controls could be a little wonky, but they have a depth of interactivity that no other game has had before or since.
Yeah.
I mean, literally everything in that game world, pretty much everything can be picked up, looked at, do stuff with it. There is no other game that's come that close.
Yeah.
Just none. Absolutely none.
Yeah. And there's a wide variety of gameplay styles in that game, too. It's remarkable what they managed to cram into that Dreamcast disc.
And this started out as a Saturn game. They were going to do this on Sega Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, until somebody realized that would be crazy.
Yeah. God, if it was on the Saturn, that thing would have been like 6 or 7 discs.
Yeah.
But, if you've looked at the footage, it still looked like Shenmue. I mean, it wasn't that the game was being down-tuned to work on the Sega Saturn. Yu Suzuki was dragging Shenmue out of it, kicking and screaming.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like the thing we saw at E3, they had some of the old assets from when they were still working on, perhaps starting on the prototype for Shenmue 3.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been far and away the best-looking Saturn game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Dreamcast came out and gave them a better platform to do it on.
Yeah. He just embraced that wholeheartedly.
It's like, yep. Let's go here.
Well, I can work with this.
Yep.
Yeah. I think we have a show, guys.
Yep.
It looks that way.
Yeah.
All right. I'd like to remind everybody that if you're not subscribed to the show yet, you can do so via iTunes or TuneIn or your other favorite podcast aggregators. We should be in the directory. Just have a look for Day Zero Update, and we're there. Check us out also on smashpad.com. We've also got a Tumblr blog, sp_patrick.tumblr.com. You can find me on Twitter at fdenolfo. You can find Patrick at sp_patrick. You can find Brandon. I don't know where you can find Brandon, but
you aren't. You
cannot. He is the man that cannot be found. And Teresa, anything you want to plug?
I'm also on Twitter at nakozuki75.
All right. So with that, I am Filippo DeNolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Teresa Sammons.
And we'll see you next week.